Welcome to It Is What It Is, a true crime podcast. How is everybody's beautiful faces? I've missed you all. It's been a long week. I had to take a week off for my birthday and the 4th of July. Well, here in Idaho Falls, we did the 3rd of July is when we celebrated. We have this really big rich guy here who does our firework display and stuff for us. He so graciously does it. And he changed the day because it fell on a Sunday. And we don't play here in Idaho. We pray on Sunday. That is the Lord's Day. So we changed the National Day of Independence to the 3rd. So whatever. It happened. So hopefully everybody had a good 3rd of July. So it was nice. It was a good week off. I'm glad to be recording right now. I always feel so lost when I don't record. So I've already eaten up a minute of personal time. So I guess we can just do the episode so that way everybody doesn't yell at me. So like I said last week, this week's episode was picked by a fan and he idolized her in his own way. And I've never done a famous person like this. It's Selena. I've never done anybody famous, really, to her stature anyway. And I'm super, super nervous because I am literally the whitest person you'd ever find. And so the names and stuff like that are going to sound fucking atrocious. And I'm warning you right now. The only thing I know, and everybody's like, oh, but she dated a Mexican guy for a long time. And I did. And don't ever yell at me for calling him a Mexican guy. He's totally cool with it. But he never taught me any like Spanish or any, like nothing polite. It's all dirty caca stuff that you don't want to say without knowing 100% sure you're right. But so I'm going to try my bestest. I watched everything he recommended. I literally think I watched everything on YouTube, everything in Spanish. I watched the subtitles, like everything I could possibly find, I found. And thankfully, because she was so iconic, there is a ton of information out there on her and her life. So that was very nice and very helpful in doing this. So anywho, sir, we can, I guess, start with the generic stuff. She was born on April 16th, 1971. She is an American Mexican singer. She was absolutely amazing. She was only in her 20s. She was 23 years old when she was murdered. So she was very, very young. And yeah, so the beginning of her life as a wee little adorable child, at like 6 years old, she started singing and her dad was in a band. And so he managed her siblings, Selena, her brother, and her sister. Her sister Suzette played the drums. Her brother played something. Fuck, I don't know. I don't know what it's called, the little thingy. I know he wrote a lot of her songs. So, yeah. Anyway. And so they had this cute, adorable little family band. They played all the time. The family had a restaurant, which they played in. Just the closest family bond you could ever see. And her dad was a performer before in his own personal band. And he kind of managed that band too. And her dad is amazing. He is a very strong, very independent. Like, he makes the world move the way he wants it to move. So that's really cool. And he even says in a lot of the interviews, like, his kids might have cried and wanted to go outside and play, but he knew what he was building, and he was building the amazing force of the band. And I'm so nervous to try to say it. So it was Selena Lastinos, I think. That's my best attempt at it. And but when she went to, like, go on in future, they dropped the band part. And so she was just known as Selena. And most people, I think, at least in my culture, became aware of her when she passed away. And then the movie came out, and when Jennifer Lopez reenacts and does her life story, I think that's when a lot of white people heard about her. And, like, I was in the back of the store the other day telling my friend I was doing this episode, and I was telling her how nervous I was. And she's super, super white, too. And she goes, oh, well, didn't she just get murdered by, like, her manager or something? And then every white person I knew was like, I have no idea how she died. Like, she just died, I guess. So it's weird how different culturally she was remembered, because even in Mexico, she's on stamps. She's a legend in her own right. And she's very iconic. Her voice was amazing beyond all levels. She didn't know Spanish originally, learned it, sang it. She was funny. She was a daughter and a sister and a wife, and unfortunately never got the chance to be a mother. She was a pet mom. So, I mean, she had her fur babies. And so they start out slow, small, restaurant, weddings, backyard parties, all that type of stuff. And then they, like, the, I can't remember what it's called. When, I don't know, the recession. There we go. When the recession hit, they lost everything, unfortunately. And they had to move back to her dad's hometown, I don't know if it was his hometown, but from where he was from in Corpus Christi in Texas. And so they moved back. And that's how they made a living, was together as a band. Then they buy this bus, then they live on the bus. That's how she finishes school, is through the mail. And education, even though she finished school and did schooling the way she did, it was still very, very, very important to her. And she spoke on that a lot. She would go to schools and just explain to the children that without her education, she wouldn't have the solid ground she has to be who she was. And that's really awesome. I don't remember anybody when I was a kid that I looked up to that was like, education's really, really important. And, like, you meant it. There was, like, some Disney commercials, but not much, but she meant it. Like, she would go out of her way to speak to children and to tell them that no matter how you finish or what you finish, you have to finish. And so that was really interesting and very nice to learn. She also is one of, at least back then, I'm not 100% sure if she is still the only one, but she won all these awards. She got female vocalist, and that had never been won before in any award in the Latin music for anybody. And she had won that 9 years in a row. So that's amazing. And you got it in that, like, in the music that she was in was very, like, Tejano music was very, I guess, male dominated at the time. I don't know if that's still the case. I don't know. But at the time, it was very male dominated. So for her to come in and shine and go from being like the opening act to the main act was amazing. And like to know that like her dad saw all of that and knew this is what his children would become is so awesome. And just like imagine that. Imagine being able to spend every day with your family. You make a living with your family. You thrive with your family. Like, I don't know. I think that's really, really cool. And then eventually down the road, this adorable hunk of a guy comes into her life. And there's one rule that her dad has. And it's one of the main, like, for her anyway, is like the no dating thing with, I don't know if it's within the band or just in general. He was more like, you need to be focused and men will come in and screw things up for you. He's a smart guy. But she fell in love with Chris. They secretly have this relationship for 3 years, which is a long time. For 3 years, they have a secret relationship. I guess everybody knows about it except for her dad. He finds out, of course, and kicks him out of the band, breaks her heart. Now she's devastated. But then she goes on in like April 2nd, I think, and is like, okay, we'll check it. We're getting married anywho. And she does. They do. And they were married for almost 3 years by the time she was murdered. So it wasn't just some like cute, adorable little fling. Like it was a true love, pure love. And so, yeah, and they got married at a courthouse. So and she never would give in to the fact that she was as famous as she was. They said even up till like her, one of her last performances, she was still like, oh, I hope people come. Even though she was Selena, to still sit there and be like, oh man, I hope they come. And she was, had an amazing amount of love for fashion, and she made all of her stuff that she wore on stage, her boots, like she was so just an entrepreneur. She was just so many different things. It was crazy to learn that she was just not some singer. Because to be honest, I knew she did her own clothes from the movie. But then you learn when you watch the HBO well, it's not really a docuseries. It's a show. But when you watch the Netflix series, Selena, you learn that like that was, I want to say her true, real, like her own true passion. So, and she was amazing at it. And then her family hired this disgusting little person named Yolanda, and that's who kills her. I don't even want to say her name because she's just gross. She did a 2020 interview, and in the 2020 interview, she goes on to talk about how she didn't kill her and like the truth will come out and all this shit. And it was just so disgusting to sit there and say you're her number one fan, her best friend. You thought of her like a daughter. She even claims that she called her mom. You know what I mean? Like, and this lady's real fucked up in the head. So I wouldn't take anything she says seriously. But I don't know. To put such a negative spin on the way she killed her and make it sound and seem like other people are responsible or were there. And like, it's very known what happened not inside the room, but like outside of the room and everything else. It's very known what happened to her. So the Yolanda chick was embezzling and robbing her, even though she claimed this was like her best friend and she was the person who started the fan club for her. And she grew the fan club to thousands and thousands of people. So, I mean, she did do something, but then money got a hold of her and she starts robbing Selena. Well, Selena's fans are reporting to her dad that they're paying their monthly subscription, but they're not getting anything in return. There's no return on the money being sent. And so he demands to see records. He does his job as a father. He investigates. He finds out that this disgusting person is actually robbing her. And it's making her look bad. And people are starting to say negative things about her when her reputation was the cleanest thing I've ever seen for someone with fame attached to their name. She was very, 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 very respected and very sweet. And so it was starting to put like a bad thing. So like she was being fired, right? But in Texas and in Mexico, she had boutiques. And so she was like, hey, I'm going to let her run the one in Mexico while we figure all this out. And it was around tax time. And they were like, hey, we need all the records or whatever. And the day Selena died is like the saddest day ever. Because truthfully, March 31st of 1995, I was 5 years old. I remember it being on the TV. Not like the whole, like the standoff with Yolanda, but like the memorials and like watching the people cry and put like the candles and stuff. I remember that. Anyway, so that day, everybody's sleeping. She's supposed to go to the recording studio to meet up with her brother. And she, I guess that's how they do it in the show. I watched an interview with Chris, her husband, who said his version of that day. And according to him, his version of that day was it was super, super early. And he woke up to her like screaming because his dad was in town and she had forgot. And so she ran into the dad and was like, startled. And so he never asked her because it was so early. He like just frantically woke up, made sure she was okay. Everybody laughed about it. She was, I guess, iconic for losing her keys and her cell phone and stuff like that. And so she took Chris's truck and Chris's cell phone with her and left that morning. And Yolanda had told her that she had been attacked by some men in Mexico and had been raped. And so her being the sweet person she is, and she never wanted to believe her dad when her dad said she was being robbed. She always thought that the friendship and the love between those two was more than money. And so she takes her to the hospital. When she's at the hospital, the nurse is like, hey, on the real though, like, we're not saying it didn't happen. There's just real no evidence of it. And so from what Chris says, she calls him at home and kind of says, hey, I'm frustrated with this. This is what's happening. And he was like, okay, you know what? Take her back to the hotel. Leave it there. We'll figure it out later. And when she went back to the hotel with Yolanda, and went into the hotel room, I guess there was, no one knows, it's an assumption on everybody's part, words exchanged. Yolanda claims when she put the gun up, she was going to shoot herself, and she was telling Selena to leave the room. Gun goes off. Selena turns. Gun goes off, shoots her in the back. She runs all the way to the lobby where she bleeds out while waiting for paramedics to come. And if you believe, like, if that is, like, all you knew, then, yeah, you're like, it's a crime of passion. This chick was just a massive fan. She's obsessed. She was crazy. But then you find out that she had purchased the same revolver before, but then Selena had let her continue working at the boutique in Mexico, so she had returned it because she wasn't fired. She still got to be her biggest fan and be in the inner circle. She thought she had weaseled her way. And then, of course, she knows you are being fired. We cannot continue this. She goes, repurchases the gun. And then that day happens. And it's like, and then she sits in a truck for like 9 fucking hours and has a standoff until she gives herself up. Like, she was very, very, very dramatic about it. Meanwhile, her dad and her brother, I'm not 100% where her sister was, but they are finishing breakfast, waiting, walking into their place of business and recording studio place. Sorry, production studio. There we go. That's the word I was looking for. They're walking in to hear her aunt, who is the receptionist, getting the news and screaming and finding out. So then they find out. They don't know she's been murdered. Her dad thinks she's been in a car wreck because she is late for coming to do some of the recording for her English album. And so he thinks in his head, car wreck. He gets to the hospital and obviously learns that it's a different scenario. And then he even does a press conference because nobody else in his family can do it because everybody's devastated and he is a warrior. Like, this man, to this very day, talks about his daughter so stoically, but still, in the same breath, lets you know that he still mourns her every day and cries for her. It's amazing. The man is just, I don't know. And they say, everybody says that the guy in the movie spent so much time with the real Abraham that that's how he is. And so, like, yeah, she would be cool to meet, but, like, how cool would it be to meet her dad? The man who, like, was like, no, this is what my future is. This is what your future is. This is what we are going to be. I just think it's fucking cool. But, and her mom, that sweet little woman, like, they had spent the day before together and had all this amazing time. They talked, they laughed, and everything else. She gets the worst wake-up call as well. You know that this happened. Chris, on the other hand, mind you, she had his phone. So he's out with his dad. He goes and he picks up dinner, the supplies for dinner, because she was going to cook his father and him some dinner that night, and goes about his normal day. And he doesn't know anything at all until he comes home at the end of his day to an answering machine and, like, finding out that, like, obviously the world has known. And, like, I don't know. With famous people, I think that's, like, one of the hardest things with famous people is the lack of privacy their families have. And when tragic things happen, the world knows before intimate, close people to them know. I don't know. I didn't know she was as cool as she was. And I will be 100% honest. I can see why she means so much to the American-Mexican community, even the Mexican community in a whole. To have someone who you've never really seen somebody look like you up on a stage. I get how cool it is. Like, she was really cool. Like, I know that sounds weird. Like, oh, you've already said that. But, like, I just didn't know. Like, I watched the movie. I loved the movie. I grew up in the 90s. And so I had the little square song that played, like, the one song repeatedly for you. It was like a little toy. And I had Dreaming of You on it. And, like, I popped that little bad boy in. And so, like, I knew of her that way. But to know and to see and to watch, I went and did some, like, fan pages and stuff like that and saw what fans would say about her. I guess it was like the seeing her up there representing them was, it was awesome to all of them. And then they were robbed. And that's how, like, every one of them describe her loss, is they were being robbed. And for so many people's lives just to change instantly. And then just the disrespect of the way it was. And this was a woman who was at their table. Like, she was a part of the family and did them dirty, all because she got caught robbing. Like, you can't just, and like, the dad was so nice. He's like, hey, probably like just gonna fire you and be done with you because we don't want to go through all this nonsense. And it wasn't just like, oh, a couple hundred, it's a couple thou that we stole. I don't know. The lady's just a little cockroach, bro. Like, I don't know. To kill somebody and then to have the nerve to sit in prison and do an interview and be like, no, 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 no. And she kept doing like, no. Like, you guys know the little chick off fucking Family Guy? No, no, no. That's what she kept doing. Like, that's not how it happened. Oh, I don't want to say. I just know that there's people out there that their minds are getting to them because they know the truth about what happened. Girl, the truth is you shot her because you got caught robbing her. And you're a coward. That's the damn truth. No one else is to blame. And the family does an amazing job not giving that woman any type of shine whatsoever. They don't call it her murder. They call it what happened. What happened with her? What happened with her? They don't, it's like when they talk about it all the way up until her passing, they call her by her name. They use Yolanda. And then once they talk about that, they, her, like that person. And that's just really cool, I think, to not ever give the person that destroyed everything you ever had any light or any shine. So I don't know. The whole thing, it was very, very educational for me. And I asked him before I did any looking into it or anything like that. I asked him, I said, well, what did you like about her? Because I don't understand. Like, I don't know. What did you like? And he said, at the time, it was just loving all of the music and all her TV appearances. In retrospect, as an adult, I think a lot of us felt very represented. There was this superstar singer who sang in Spanish but spoke English. She was a Chicana in every matter of fact. She didn't throw it in your face. She just was who she was. And she was a lot like me and the kids in my neighborhood. And I'm sure countless of other kids in neighborhoods in the country. And to know that that meant so much. And I don't think about that because I've literally, like I said, I don't know some dirty words. I'm not going to, you know, I know some words. They're not good words, but I've never spoken a different language. I've never felt that feeling of being in a room and not knowing what people around me are saying. Like, yeah, I've been in the room when my friends speak, like I have friends, like when they speak Spanish or whatever. And it's weird. It's weird. And they're my friends. And I'm like, what did you just say? Did you say something bad about me? What did you say? I don't know. Cause I don't like, and just to like have someone represent you in that way would be just so cool. I'm so jealous that I don't have like this amazing, we don't have a different language. I've never tried to learn a different language. I don't know. I didn't idolize pop singers either. There wasn't like anybody I had a million posters on my wall of. So it's kind of cool to listen to people talk about Selena in such a bright light. And it's not just fans from the 90s and 80s and, I mean, from her childhood and that went with her. It's people who are literally just barely clicking on the Netflix series and watching it, who she's changing their life. And that to me is just like, when you die, you hope you get remembered and shown as much love as she does. From all over the world, she's still on like the top charts. She's still laying shit down. I don't know. Not like laying shit down like new shit, but like she's still on the billboards. She's still selling stuff. Like her sister runs a museum with all of her clothes, her car, I guess everything in there except for her makeup bag, which I guess is a very hot topic. Everybody wants to see like her makeup box, her makeup case. And just like the family does such a beautiful job of keeping her memory alive. And they all say, well, we just know she would do the same. Like if someone had something negative to say about somebody, she would follow it up with a positive. When she would meet a fan, she would compliment you as a fan. Even if it was just as like, oh, I like your, I love your shoes, cute sweater or whatever. She still took that time to make you feel special for taking time out of your day to meet her. So I thought that that was really, really cool. And they do say that the Netflix series and the movie are pretty much spot on of how everything went down. And I think that that's really cool because her dad is so powerful that like when that man is like, this is how I want it to be, I want it to be that way. And I guess really the only thing that he wanted to take out of the movie and not put in there was the way that she went and got married, because he was like, no other little girl should go and get married that way. You don't do it. But he realized that it was an important part of his daughter's story. So just to know that he still knows that she is a role model, and that little girls are going to watch that show and watch the movie, and he didn't want them to be like, that's what I want to do. That part is what I want to do. That's just so cool. I don't know. It's rare that you hear of famous people being down to earth and being true people and being solidly nice. To know that she was Selena, like Selena, and she still was like, shit, do you guys think anybody's going to come to my show? And genuinely meant that. She wasn't saying it so that everybody around her could praise her. She was legitimately like, oh man, I hope everybody likes it and wants to come see. Like how beautiful is that? that everybody around the world was calling her a queen. And she was like, okay, cool. Thanks. Cute. I think that's just really cool to not get blinded by it. And maybe it's the way she started out as it being like the way her family fed themselves. Maybe that's why she was like, nah, dude, it's cool. Like, I worked for this. I know, but I'm still humble as shit. So I don't know. I thought it was really cool. I'm glad I got to do this one. I learned a lot. I learned things I didn't know about her. And so it was really nice. And I enjoyed it a lot. So thank you very much for your recommendation. And he does have his own little podcast. I don't know if I haven't seen him do any uploads in like a minute, but he has a YouTube channel and a beautiful family. I don't have his permission to say his name, so I don't want to. We'll just call him by his first name, Rodrigo. Because it's bitching. And I didn't say that to be racist. That's really how I would say that name if I met you. I can't say his name. I can't say my ex's name. That'd be fucked up. His name was like the first name I ever learned in Spanish. And he was my first boyfriend ever. So like fifth grade. And I went home and I practiced the shit out of his name so that I would get it right. And he went by like the white version of his name. And I would even try to put like a little tongue roll on it. I don't know. So weird when you think about stuff like that, when you're so young and you date somebody of an opposite, race group as you. I don't like that word. I can't say it. I don't know. It was weird. This whole episode took me down a crazy road of talking to my friends and being like, dude, tell me, like, what was she for you? And it never changed. It never changed through any of the people I talked to, how amazing and how important she was to them. And so that was just really cool. So I recommend everybody go and watch the Netflix series and then do what I did, because Selena plays a lot on TV, on E! And Bravo and stuff. But I spend so much time of my life sleeping that I miss them every dang time. And so you can go on YouTube and you can rent it for $4. I've done that like 3 times in the process of this week. So you can go rent it. Watch the Jennifer Lopez one. Go on YouTube and watch the videos of her siblings and her husband and her brother and her father and her mother talking about her. Don't watch the Trash Bags 2020. It's just gross and disgusting. And she has life in prison, so she's never getting out of prison, obviously. So we should just forget her name altogether. But Selena was an amazing person. And not one of her songs, even the ones in Spanish, should I not sit there and like jam out to. So she was very, very talented. So there you go, bud. Hopefully you liked that and I didn't disappoint you in any way, shape, or form. And like I said, I was I'm nervous to do this episode because of all of the names and everything else. I just get nervous. So I'm sorry. I didn't go into depth with all of her awards and her songs and stuff like that, simply because I would have slaughtered every one of them, except for I'll Be Dreaming of You. That one nailed it right on the head. So yeah, I did it out of respect, not out of disrespect. Okay. Okay. And I will see you lovely people, not see you, listen to you, hear you, think of you next week when we come back with another episode. It won't be a fan one. I don't think. No, it won't. Nope, it won't. I have a fan thing in the works, but it's not next week. So in the meantime, go check out other stuff. The comedy podcast I usually rant and rave about is on a little suspension at the moment. One of them became a grandfather. They're old as fuck. They're like 10 years older than me. Ancient. So they'll be back in, like, I don't know, whenever they feel like it. I tried to run interference with his show and get him a side person to talk to. And that side person was even like, I would love to, but I don't know if they're going to do it. And I know he listens to this, so he'll hear the tone in my voice that he really should hit up that certain person and do a freaking episode tonight on Friday so that I can have something to listen to on Monday. But no pressure, whatever he wants to do, it's fine. And yeah, so on that note, I love all of you. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Don't get in trouble. And we'll catch up next week. Bye.